All right, we're going to play a little game this morning. Heavy topic, so I want to start it out with a little levity that I hope gets you to the place that I want you to be. So all of us are familiar with slogans and jingles, and I'm going to throw out some of those and see if you can either tell me the company or finish the line that I start. So Winston tastes good like a... Are you guys cigarette smokers? But you, like, bingo, we got that one, right? the stronger soaker upper. Bounty. Or the quicker picker upper, right? How about this? Have it your way. What's that from? Burger King, yeah. Good to the last drop. Maxwell House. Somebody sing the Folgers thing for me. You guys know Folgers, right? There you go. It's Folgers in your cup, right? Where's the beef? Wendy's, right on, yeah. A diamond is forever. De Beers. Gentlemen prefer, okay, think marketing. Hanes, remember that? They stole that from James Bond. Gentlemen prefer Hanes. There you go. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Smith Barney, good for you. So there was a couple of marketing campaigns that centered around meat. So if you remember, these are more recent with pork and beef, and there's some slogans that go along with them. So pork is the other white meat, and beef is it's what's for dinner. I should have given you more time. It's funny how we can do this. It's everywhere you want to be. Close. Visa. Or the other one, you'll get this now that we said, don't leave home without it. The American Express card. All right? So what is the motto for Budweiser? King of Beers and another one? This Bud's for you. Yeah. Sorry to bring that up. We'll leave the light on for you. just do it. Nike. Right. This one doesn't have an identification, and I'm just going to say it because I don't remember what it's associated with, but I remember the line, does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. Was it Clairol? Yeah. The Breakfast of Champions. We sell no wine before it's time. Paul Masson Winery. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Yeah? Farfignugan. What does that mean? Does anyone know? Does it matter? We'll get back to that. We do chicken right. KFC. Every kiss begins with. So we can go on and on and on, right? Chuck E. Cheese, where a kid can be a kid. Gillette, the best a man can get. Have you driven a Ford lately? Fosta's. So if I just said Foster's, you might not have got it, but if I say it with a crazy, well, actually a poor Australian accent, Sue gets it. A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. Is it Live or is it Memorex? Is it milk? I mean, these go on and on. I have pages of these slogans and mottos that we have learned and that have been driven into our minds. And so today, as we talk about these ideas of repentance and renewal, as we continue that conversation and talk about our mind and how our mind works, it's a very important conversation for us to have, because what we want is to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is a complex thing, as your mind is. On Wednesday night, we've been just walking through the Bible, five chapters a day, and this last week we found ourselves in 2 Corinthians. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And it says this: "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual." Now the phrase that I want you to focus on a little this morning is that phrase, the depths of God. The depths of God. And no one knows the depths of God but the Spirit of God. And no one knows the depths of a man except the Spirit of a man. It's just an interesting phrase. And so when I think about thinking, when I think about my own thinking, it's a complex thing, because I have some things that are easily identifiable, but there are some things in me that I know are in me that sometimes I just can't put a finger on. Do you have those things? Impressions, intuitions. We might call it a still small voice or the conscience. And I sometimes you'll just be in the middle of something and you go, this doesn't feel right. And so sometimes we'll mark this up, or we'll chalk this up to some sort of external kind of impression. But oftentimes it's internal. I know it's in me. It's just I've got a bad feeling about this. Or I've got a really good feeling about this. I can't really explain it, but I know this is right. You ever feel that way? That there are those parts of me that are there, that are real, that are part of my internal person, and yet I can't put my finger on what exactly it is. Now, for someone like me, that's very frustrating. I like to know. And not only do I like to know, I like to be able to express with precision what it is that I know. It drives my wife crazy, because she'll say a particular word, I know what she means, and I'll, play with her. And I've been trying to stop that, by the way. But I have a tendency to do that. And it's because I want to know exactly what it is that I'm thinking. So this part of me is a little mysterious and a little disconcerting. So I've done a lot of thinking about this area of my life. And so what I want to talk to you about today ultimately is this concept that is known in our current vernacular as worldview. It's the summation of all that we believe about what's real and what's true. And I want to kind of parse out the different layers of that and the different parts. So I'm going to use a couple pictures, first of all, and then we'll give some definitions, and then I'll use some examples, and I'm going to leave you with some verses. Okay, so here's the first picture. It's a triangle, and it's a triangle of our life. So behavior is everything above the line. And I typically can discern by looking at someone's behavior what their interior life is like. It's really not that hard, but you can. But behavior is the stuff that's visible. Underneath the visible, the internal person of me, the hidden person of my heart, there are different categories of my thinking. So we have values and beliefs. Those are things that we can kind of quantify. These different things, I can tell you what it is I believe, and I can tell you what it is that I value. And in the interior person of my heart are not only thoughts, the intellect and the mind, but there are emotions the way I feel. And so those things are connected. Emotions aren't necessarily rational. The mind needs to interpret and place value upon my emotions. And so they just exist. So when I get angry, I have to say, why am I angry? What am I going to do with my anger? What's the appropriate response with my anger? Because anger doesn't have two things. It doesn't have morality, and it doesn't have a mind. The mind has to interpret those particular responses. So there's the easy part of my internal person, my thinking, and I think that's beliefs and values. And then there's the tricky part. The part where emotions and values and beliefs kind of merge together. And I'm going to call these archetypes. Now, I don't mean this to be difficult. These are patterns, if you will, ancient patterns in your thinking. Patterns that you might not know the sourcing of, but they've just always been there. And they serve as, for you, part of that internal, I just have a feeling about this, part of life. And they've been embedded in you from a long time and from many, many different sources. These archetypes are powerful, and they are they're part of what we need to deal with from our internal perspective. I think the best way I can talk about archetypes, or one of the most famous ways that we can talk about archetypes, and I put this in your bulletin, is when Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart talked about pornography, and they were trying to define pornography, and what is pornography? Is it a picture of a girl in a bikini? Is it simply a picture of a nude woman, or is it something more explicit than that? And they were trying to parse that out, and he said this. He's actually appealing to all of our archetypes. He said, I might not know how to define it, but I know it when I see it. And so what he's talking about is this convergence of this internal part of me that includes my archetypes, my beliefs, and my values. And when you have convergence on all those three things, when those three things are in agreement, then you're a person of integrity. Because over time, what happens is that your behavior matches your internal person. Where we get into trouble, and what you struggle with the most in your Christian development, is the disagreement between archetypes and beliefs. And the problem is that I know what I believe, but there's this other part of me that at times plays with that. So for me, it's, you know, the struggle with the spiritual. For instance, when I pray, and I've been a believer a long time, but I still struggle with this when I pray. As I close my eyes and I start to pray, and I look around the room and I say, who are you talking to? And I have doubt in my mind, because we're materialists in the 21st century, and the spiritual world is very difficult for us to parse out. And we start to doubt it. We live in a scientific age where the constant message from our academic world and culture is that science is king. And if you can't measure it, and you can't see it, and you can't examine it, and you can't do an experiment with it, it doesn't exist. That's a very real and strong cultural component of our world. And so for people like us who believe in God, that idea is at competition with our very basic archetypal idea that God exists. And sometimes you're going to experience doubt when things go bad, when you pray for something for a very, 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 very long time and it doesn't come about. You might say any number of things. Is there a God? Is one of them. Can he hear my prayers? Does he care? Is he good? Or you might transfer that onto yourself. I don't deserve for God to hear me. All of those things that I just talked about are those things that are rooted down deep in the archetypal part of our mind. I know I believe in God. I get up here every week and talk to you about God's existence. My whole career is dependent upon the existence of God. Right? So this behavior, I believe in God, therefore I'm going to go to seminary, therefore I'm going to go find a job in a church and preach. This behavior is reflective of that belief that there is a God and that there's no other way to live your life than to following after him. But occasionally, in that archetypal part of my life, I go, is it really true? And so what happens is I need to address that emotion. And there's all kinds of reasons why I might not quite yet be there. This next picture might help us a little bit more. So if behavior is outside the target, that's what the target does, is it kind of affects my behavior, what I do, what I say, how I spend my money. Those are based on beliefs and values. And sometimes those beliefs and values are strong enough to govern behavior all by itself, and I can still exist with an internal battle. The battle between beliefs and values and these archetypes that exist in my mind and my heart. That connection between my heart and my mind. And so what I want to do is I want to start addressing this internal part of me. So let's just make some definitions. Archetypes would be these: deeply held assumptions, impressions, intuitions about how the world works and what is important. And sometimes they're conscience, and we even make them into mottos for life, like cleanliness is next to godliness, but sometimes they are subconscious and unchallenged and unspoken. Sometimes people are actually unaware of these powerful underlying archetypes. They just exist. Now, this is the place, if I want to just stop here for a moment and tie it in with our whole philosophy of how the gospel affects us. This is the place, and maybe this will be even more helpful, where ideas like acceptance live. Where ideas like security live. Where ideas like identity live. Because if I did a poll in this room, I would say, are believers accepted by God? Everyone would say yes. Then if I took it to this next step, are you accepted by God? The first statement you would state with clarity and with confidence. The second statement you might waffle a little bit about. And that becomes your struggle with acceptance. I don't know if God accepts me. It might play itself out in this way. I don't feel worth God's attention. I don't feel like I'm worthy. Or once I stop performing, God might not like me or accept me. I just need to keep doing something for God. And that's where you begin to see this challenge between belief and an archetype. And an archetype is where you begin to challenge this belief at the very depths of your being. It's where the spirit of the man knows the man. And I can sit in the pew and nod my head and sing the song. And then tonight when I lay my head down on the pillow, I go, I don't think that works for me. Well, I don't think that applies to me. So acceptance, identity, security, all of those things would reside in this particular place where the truth of what I believe connects viscerally or emotionally with who I am, the depths of me. Beliefs are assumptions and convictions that we think are true. Values are principles and standards of behavior that flow out of that belief structure. And finally, worldview is the summation of this whole picture. Our worldview is everything from the very core of our being to our behavior. That's our picture of reality, of what's real and what's true. All right, so let's play this out. Let me see if I can help you with an example. Let's say you get a bad report. So all of us are familiar with what that might be. You probably all have experienced something like that. The car breaks down would be one. I have a disease. That's two. My kids are not okay. Somebody's dead. I lost my job. Let's just start with a bad report. We start out with a bad report. Now, people have different responses to bad reports. They have different mottos or slogans that they tie in with bad reports. The first one might be Eggbach. Those of you who are LA radio fans remember Ken and Bob or Bob and Ken? Ken and Bob, I think. And they would say Eggbach. It stood for everything's gonna be okay. And that was just one of the things they would talk about on their morning show. So you might say that might be your standard response to things are bad. Eggbach, everything's going to be okay. And that would reflect a value system and a belief structure and maybe even an archetype in your mind. Everything's going to be okay. You met people like this. They're always positive. Doesn't matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. And it doesn't matter if everything's going to be okay or not. Everything's going to be okay. I'm just going to keep saying that, and that's what's going to get me through. Right? So our next statement might be, God is punishing me. People, when bad things happen, they don't say everything's going to be okay. They say, oh, I knew that's what was going to happen because I didn't do such and such. I didn't read my Bible today, so God's punishing me. I didn't go to church, so God's punishing me. I didn't do such and such, so God's punishing me. I didn't give enough in the offering, so God's punishing me. I didn't do something, God's punishing me. So when bad things happen, that's where I go. And when you talk to people like that, sometimes, especially they're believers, they might not admit, no, I don't believe that God just punishes people like that willy-nilly. He just does it to me. Right? So that reveals something at that archetypal level. That visceral level where belief connects to the individual. Or you might say, I deserve this. I deserve this. It's a variation of God is punishing me, but it's more focused on me. I deserve this. Or you might say, when life throws you lemons, make lemonade. Let's make the best out of this. Let's see how we can kind of turn this into a positive. Right? It's a little different from the Eggbach one, but similar. Some people say, don't worry, be happy. This kind of Pollyanna approach to life, you know, just be happy. Or you might even do this, the devil's after me. The devil's doing it to me. Right? All of these are responses that are rooted in this area of a combination of my beliefs and my sense, my feeling, my conscious, my intuitions. And we need to get to the place where those things merge together and are true, where my beliefs and my archetypes are defined by truth. So Jesus tells us, you will know the truth will set you free. Or, you are of your father, the devil. He is the father of lies. One or the other. And so when we start to examine our life, our internal life, we need to not only examine our belief structure, our doctrines, but we need to examine the depths of my life. And this is difficult. And this is where most Christians just begin to say, it's just the way it's going to be. Instead of continuing to do this work and driving down until I discover what it is that God wants me to change. You have these archetypal responses in you. And if I throw out relationships like father, think about father for a second. You will have not only pictures of your dad, but you'll have some emotion that rises up. And I think if I say mother, same thing, and maybe a different set of emotions. If I say husband or wife, same thing. You have an idea of what a husband is supposed to be like, what a wife is supposed to be like, whether your husband is that way, whether you're that way, and then whether your marriage is that way. Those are archetypes. Those are places that need examining and work and help. events can trigger these kinds of things in our lives. You know, if I say a day which will live in infamy for a particular generation, that's an archetypal statement that defines so many things about you, your values, the way you view people, certain nationalities. When I say 911, the same sort of thing. So, how do we address this area of our life? This is the challenge of connecting not just what I believe, not just doctrine, not just my thinking, but my whole person. And so the Bible has many verses that we could look at, and I'll just read through some of them quickly. Here's some from the Proverbs. Proverbs 20, verse 5 is the second one on that list. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. So you want to pray for understanding in your life, of your person, of you. Proverbs 20, 27, the spirit of the man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The prophet Jeremiah asks. With regard to God, Paul in Romans says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? We're made in the image of God. So there is a matching part of us that's the same way. Man, I think I know you, but I only know what you let me know. So the psalmist prays this prayer would be a good one for you. We've talked about it before, Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. It's a prayer that drives me deeper than just surface doctrine. It says, know me in this inner person. And lastly, Psalm 26, vindicate me, Lord, for I've walked in my integrity. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for their loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. This is the process and the arena of repentance and renewal. This is the area where that happens, where I drive these truths of God's word into the realm of the personal and into the depths of my very being and say, these apply to me. Change me. Change me into your image in the deepest part of me. And that's the battle that we have, is this battle for the inner person and the inner mind. Father in heaven, help us to discover this region that for us is hidden and yet not hidden. Help us, Lord, to open ourselves to the examination of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to respond to him as he challenges some of these deeply held notions that we have and that we hold on to. And help us, Lord, as we strive to become more like you in this area. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.